We're in week two of the series entitled Step Up. Because we're talking about how we can step up in every area of our life, in our spiritual life, in our physical lives, in our relationships, if you're married, in your marriage, if you've got kids, in your family, if you're single, in your friendships, if you're in high school, in your schools, in your friends, in middle school, and so forth. We want to step up. And let me give you the motivation behind this. We said this last week, and let me remind you of the motivation of why we're even doing this series and why this is even important for us as we launch into a brand new year, putting 2014 on the shelf and looking and evaluating our own lives, our walk with God, who Jesus is, and what our relationships are like. Here's the reason, because there's a high, high cost. There's a price to be paid for choosing comfort. There's a high cost for setting the bar low in our lives. There's a high cost for doing little or putting things off, procrastinating, or doing it alone. We were created for relationships, and God wants us to do things together. It's amazing how, if you've not been at Fairhaven Church, you need to know that we talk often about how when we do things together, we're stronger together than we are alone. We can do greater things together than we can by ourselves, and God designed it that way. That's why He calls us the church, or His bride. And so that's why we're doing this series. Let me make it even a little bit clearer as to why we're doing this series. Because you and I were meant for more. God has amazing plans for you. And some of you might be thinking, well, man, you know, as I come out of 2014, I'm not really sure those plans are good. I assure you, God has plans for your life. In fact, He can take anything in your life. He can take the ashes of your life and turn them around and to create something good out of them. That's what the Bible is about, telling us many, many stories of whose lives of people who just burned and crashed and God took them and did something amazing. Ordinary people doing extraordinary things. It's amazing. And so we chose a verse that we looked at last week, and I want to look at it again with you. So I hope you brought a Bible or some device with you. Why don't you turn into the New Testament, Hebrews chapter 11, and we'll look at one verse, verse 6, and then we'll look at a second verse, and then we'll go to the Old Testament, and we'll look at a story that'll help us as we are in this series. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Many of you could quote this. We read it aloud last week. I'll read it again to you, and then I'll ask you to help me out loud quote part of this verse. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says this, "And without faith, it is impossible to please God." So faith in our life is really, really important. It pleases God. "Because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists, and He rewards those who earnestly seek Him." Translation, you and I need to be intentional in every area of our lives. You and I need to step up to what God wants for us in our relationships, in our neighborhoods, in our workplaces, in our schools, in our hospitals, in our cubicles, in our bedrooms, in our closets as we quietly are meeting with ourselves. And so we want to step up. It says here, "He rewards those who earnestly seek Him." Who intentionally seek Him. I'm going to say it one more time, and then in all of our campuses, I want you to say it out loud because I want you to get this. This is the anchor to this entire series, all right? He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. Would you say that out loud in all of our campuses? Here we go. He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. So the big idea, if you want to jot it down, if you missed it last week, here's the big idea for this series. Stepping up to do hard things, the right hard things. We looked at Samson, and Samson's life was harder than it had to be last week. So I'm talking about the right hard things. Stepping up to do the right hard things brings great rewards. So when you and I step up in our marriages and step up in our relationships and step up in our families and step up in our walk with God, there are great rewards. And that motivates us because we do want God to reward us, but more than that, we want to please Him by our faith, and that's why we're doing this series. So last week, we said this, let's step up to do things that avoid the hot and cold in our lives. And if you missed it, man, you got to go on our website. It's an upgraded website. It fits now on any one of our devices, easy for you to navigate, and just go up there and you can look at the message that we talked about, because we talked about how to avoid a hot and cold life. We talked about consistency because that's the low diving board. If we're going to step it up and climb the steps to get to the high dive, we need to start at the low board. And the low diving board is consistency, and we talked about that. That's what we talked about last week. Let me tell you in advance what we're going to be talking about today. Today, we're going to talk about how we can step up to do things, hard things, that go beyond what's expected. To go beyond what's expected in life. To go beyond that which is expected from God. And already you're like, oh, great. I mentioned this last week. Some of you, I hope, are not thinking that, you know, this is one of those series where I'm going to stand here and just tell you that you need to work harder and try harder and, you know, just you need to give it a little bit more energy and effort. That's not what the series is about. This series is about you stepping up, and God will do amazing things as you're willing to step up to do the hard things and go beyond what's expected. In fact, we're going to talk today about fighting. Ready for this? We're going to fight complacency. We'll get there. Complacency. You have to start with consistency, and then you got to be aware of the complacency that's in our lives, because complacency is one of the greatest enemies to going beyond what's expected in our lives. So let me talk about expectations for just a little bit, because I want to make sure that we understand that there are three things that are really important as we start talking about going beyond expectations. There are three things that we need to discuss when it comes to expectations. I want to give you some good news. I want to give you some bad news, and then I want to give you some great news in that order, okay? So let me give it to you. Here's the good news. The good news is that God has high expectations of us. That's the good news. He has great things planned and great expectations for you and for me in 2015. Every day when your feet hit the floor and your lungs have air in them and you're breathing, you need to know that God has some great things in mind and He has high expectations for you. Now, some of you, that's like, oh man, that's like putting on a backpack that weighs 200 pounds, you know, and I got to go through the day and carry a 200-pound backpack, and because God has all kinds of expectations. It's kind of like this game that we used to play years ago when my sons are now, you know, when they were boys, we used to go to this pool because one of my sons couldn't swim all that well, and so going to a neighborhood pool or a lot of the pools that are in our community, it was hard for us because we needed to keep our eye on him because he couldn't swim all that well. So we went to this house, a friend of ours who had a pool and had a diving board, and it was this little pool, great little pool that we would go to as a family, and we would play this game. And here's how the game went. I would sit in a lounge chair. That was a good part. And I would sit there, and my sons at that time, they were, you know, little boys, and I would say to them, okay, guys, we're going to play this game. I want you to go to the diving board, and I want you to get on the very back end of the diving board, and then I want you to run as fast as you can, and then I want you to jump as hard as you can, and when you get into the air, I'm going to tell you, jump or dive. And depending on which direction their body was facing, I would often say the opposite to try to just get them to, well, the face plant and, you know, just belly flop, because it was fun to watch. Kathy and I are, you know, elbowing, that's awesome right there, you know. So they'd go and they'd run and jump and they'd be up in the air and I'd go, dive. And they'd be trying to turn their bodies around to go head first, or, you know, if their bodies were head first, I'd say, jump, and they're trying to turn their bodies around and go back down. It was a great, fun game that we played over and over again. And then finally, one day they said, why don't we try it with you, Dad? All right, game on, let's play. So I got to the end of the diving board and I ran as fast as I could to the end, and I, with all 270 pounds, I jumped as hard as I could on that board. I was in the middle of the air trying to listen to whether it was going to be jump or dive. I was kind of waiting, and then the next thing I felt was this diving board that hit me in the back of the head. The diving board snapped and hit me in the back of the head, and I went into the pool. I face planted and brought the diving board in, and my sons, they were like, that is awesome right there. Of course, it wasn't our pool, you know, and I was getting the diving board out, and I went back the next day, and half the water was gone. I mean, it had cut into the lining of the pool, and I called the owners, and they were like, well, did you get a video of it? And I went back a couple days after that, and there was a guy that was cementing in a brand new diving board, and I said, how's it going? He goes, yeah, some big fat guy dumped off the board here. I go, that's terrible. Who would do such a thing, you know? And that's the image that we have in our minds, you know, when we think of God has high expectations that as you go through the year, you're going to jump, and somewhere in the air, he's going to say, jump or dive. That's not it at all. See, God has high expectation. God wants our families to love each other. God wants our marriages to thrive, not just survive. God wants our kids to make it through school and to know him personally so that they get to understand that there's a personal relationship. God wants our relationships to give us support and friendship and encouragement and challenge. God wants us to walk closely with him. God wants us to be able to conquer our addictions. God wants us to love deeper. He wants us to have hope in the middle of our health challenges. See, it's good news. God has high expectations of us. Here's the second thing. When it comes to expectations, we often lower the bar. We're the ones that lower the expectations. We're the ones that take the bar and we bring it low because we buy into three lies, and here are the lies. See, lie number one is lower expectations means less work. It's a lie. Don't believe it. Second is lower expectations means less failure in our lives. That's a lie. Don't believe it for a minute. That's complacency. Thirdly, lower expectations means we get to meet our expectations, because if you put them low, then they're easy to meet, right? That's a lie. You're not going to feel any sense of fulfillment in your life because God has high expectations for us. So that's the bad news. Here's the great news. The great news is this: God gives us the strength to go beyond our expectations. See, he has high expectations. We lower the expectations, but God gives us the strength to go beyond our low expectations in order to be able to meet the high expectations he has for us. Look at Hebrews chapter 11. Let's look at the next verse. By faith, Noah. All I have to do is mention the name, Noah. You don't even have to have attended church. Any time in your life, you can probably talk to anybody in your neighborhoods or coworkers or whatever. Everybody's heard of Noah. I mean, every preschool probably in America, whether it's in a church or a preschool somewhere else, they probably have a picture of this little tiny round cute little boat that looks like a, you know, something you'd have in your bathtub, and with these fun little animals coming off, you know, giraffes and lions, and they're all smiling like it's, you know, this great little thing, and everybody knows about Noah. I mean, it's a story that we can read in the Old Testament, which we're going to go there and read it in just a minute. And the story of Noah, even though it's a pretty tight, easy story to read, there are some things that I think we can draw out of in our lives as we look at this great story and ask ourselves, how do we go beyond what's expected in life? So take your Bibles now. This is really easy. Go all the way to the left. All the way to the left. Genesis. Our Bibles start out, Genesis. And in fact, go to the sixth chapter. Genesis chapter 6 is where the story of Noah and his wife and his three sons and their wives are. You know the story. In fact, let me just see if I'm correct here. How many of you have ever heard, or raise your hands in all of our campuses, if you've ever heard anything at all about Noah? Can I just see your hands? Raise them up high. Look around. Look around the rooms, Northmont, Springboro. That's all of us, right? We all know about Noah. The problem is, it's such a familiar story that we lose track of the fact that there are some really interesting things when you fight and wrestle with this story as if it were our own story. And so that's what we're going to do as we read this. Genesis chapter 6, let's pick it up in verse 9. Here's what it says. This is the account of Noah and his family. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked faithfully with God. Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight and was full of violence. God saw how corrupt the earth had become, for all the people on the earth had corrupted their ways. So God said to Noah, I'm going to put an end to all the people, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. I'm surely going to destroy both them and the earth. So make yourself an ark. Make yourself an ark. Make it of cypress wood, make rooms in it, and coat it with pitch inside and out. This is how you are to build it. The ark is to be 300 cubits long. Now, many of us probably don't know what a cubit is, but the way they used to measure it is from the elbow to the tip of the finger. And so as you look through antiquity, you'll find that cubits have different lengths based on elbow to tip of the finger, right? So I have a very long arm, so my cubit might be longer than yours. But scholars say somewhere around 18 to 20 inches. So 300 cubits long, 50 cubits wide, and 30 cubits high. Make a roof for it, leaving below the roof an opening 1 cubit high around. Put a door in the side of the ark and make lower, middle, and upper decks. So there are 3 decks in this ark. I'm going to bring floodwaters on the earth to destroy all life under the heavens. Every creature that has breath of life in it, everything on earth will perish. Jump down to verse 18. But I will establish my covenant with you, and you will enter the ark, you, your sons, and your wife, and your sons' wives with you. You are to bring into the ark 2 of the living creatures, male and female, to keep them alive with you, 2 of every kind of bird, 2 of every kind of animal, and every kind of creature that moves along the ground will come to be kept alive. You are to take every kind of food that is to be eaten and store it away as food for you and for them. Verse 22, Noah did everything just as God commanded. And it's a neat and tidy little story. So let's wrestle with it just a little bit. In fact, in this story, I think we can find 3 ways to go beyond what is expected in our lives. Let me give it to you. Number 1, do what is hard for you. What is hard for you? Do the right hard thing in your life. So if you're married, it might be that doing the right hard thing would be to give all the energy you need to your marriage. If you're single, maybe for your friendships and relationships. If you're in high school, I don't know what it is for you. For Noah, it was building an ark. And we see here, God said, build an ark, and Noah did it. Could it be that simple? Or could it be that their conversation went something like this?
So, you're really him, aren't you?
You want more proof? I haven't done the pillar of salt thing in a while.
That's all right, I believe you. I don't understand why you chose me.
You want to change the world, son. So do I.
What? Why an ark? I mean, that's like flood territory. You wouldn't do that again. You wouldn't do that. Would you do that?
Let's just say that whatever I do because I love you.
Well, then you have to understand that this whole building an ark thing is really not part of my plans here. I need to settle into my house. I need to make a good impression at work. What?
Your plans.
What are you talking? We're talking about an ark, right? I mean, an ark? An ark is huge. I don't even know where I would begin.
Al, I hear that a lot. People want to change the world, don't know how to begin. You want to know how to change the world, son? 1 act of random kindness at a time.
Build the ark. I'll tell you what. You build it, I'll fill it. And if anybody asks, tell them the flood's coming. Oh, and you might need this.
Okay, so what do? I grab the wood. Oh, okay. You know, that's just cruel. Do you see him? I don't see him.
See, this is a hard thing for Noah. I mean, Noah's going to build an ark. He's 10 generations into humanity, and he's going to build an ark 4 times larger than a Santa Maria that Christopher Columbus rode. He's going to build an ark that's a little bit bigger than the Wyoming. It's 2 times the length of a 747. It's 3 space shuttles if you'd line them up nose to end, nose to end. It is 62 smart cars, 4,300 years ago, Noah was to build an ark that was 510 feet long. This thing is massive. It was a huge ship. And it says in verse 7 that Noah had been warned about things not yet seen. He was going to build an ark where yet he didn't really even understand what rain and floods were all about. His family was going to be saved, and if you do the math, it would take about 75 years of his life to build this ark. That's a hard thing. Here's the question. What's the hard thing for you? What's the hard thing for you? Do the hard thing for you. That's how you go beyond what is expected. Here's the second thing. Be known for what you do more than what you don't do. That's how you go beyond what you're expected, what's expected of you. Be known for what you do more than what you don't do. Anybody can tell you what Noah did. Noah built an ark. Noah did an amazing thing. It was a hard thing. In fact, many times you've heard the story about Noah where he was criticized for building this ark. There is nowhere in Scripture that we have that. Nowhere. People are just surmising that he was criticized. Nowhere in this story will you find that people were criticizing him. And yet when you read the story, it's so neat and tidy that you have to wrestle with it. This is a huge ship that he's building, and yet there wasn't rain and floods back then, and no one understood that, and yet Noah was doing it, and he was known for what he did. Let's continue in our reading. Pick up in chapter 7, Genesis chapter 7. The Lord then said to Noah, "Go into the ark, you and your whole family, because I have found you righteous in this generation." Remember, he rewards those who, what? Earnestly seek him. "I have found you righteous in this generation. Take with you 7 pairs of every kind of clean animal, a male and its mate, and 1 pair of every kind of unclean animal, a male and its mate, and also 7 pairs of every kind of bird, male and female, to keep their various kinds alive throughout the earth. 7 days from now, I will send rain on the earth for 40 days and 40 nights, and I will wipe from the face of the earth every living creature I have made." Verse 5, "And Noah did all that the Lord commanded him." Jump down to verse 17. "For 40 days the flood kept coming on the earth. And as the waters increased, they lifted the ark high above the earth. The waters rose and increased greatly on the earth. And the ark floated on the surface of the water. They rose greatly on the earth, and all the high mountains under the entire heavens were covered. The waters rose and covered the mountains to depths of more than 15 cubits. Every living thing that moved on land perished, birds, livestock, wild animals, and all creatures, and the swarm all over the earth, and all mankind, everything on dry land that had breath of life in its nostrils died." See, Noah was known for what he did do. See, I think one of the lessons that we can learn in going beyond what's expected is to be known for more for what you do than what you don't do. Here's the third lesson for us. And going beyond what's expected, chase after God's expectations. Not excuses, chase after God's expectations. So if you're married, chase after what God is expecting of you in your marriage. If you're single, chase after that which God expects for you as single. If you're widowed, chase after what God expects. If you're in middle school, high school, chase after that. As a person in business, if you're a Christ follower, whatever that means for you as a Christ follower in business, chase after that in what God expects of you, not excuses. See, when we read the story, we can go in and on into chapter 8. And this is what it says in chapter 8, but Noah, verse 8, "But God remembered Noah." They'd been in the ark. If you do the math, they were on the ark for about a year. A year. Though it rained for 40 days and 40 nights, they were on the ark for about a year. But God remembered Noah. And then God said to Noah, "Come out of the ark, you and your wife and your sons and their wives. Bring every kind of living creature that is with you, the birds, the animals, all the creatures that move along the ground, so they can multiply on the earth and be fruitful." So, verse 18, "So Noah came out together with his sons and his wife and his son's wife, and all the animals and all the creatures that move along the ground and all the birds, everything that moves on the land came out of the ark, one kind after another." Do you know how many species there are of frogs? A lot. How about snakes? I mean, just pick an animal. It's an incredible story. Go to chapter 9, verse 8. Then God said to Noah and to his sons, I will now establish a covenant or a promise with you and your descendants after you. Verse 13. I have set a rainbow in the clouds, and it will be the sign of a covenant between me and the earth. Verse 17. So God said to Noah, this is the sign of the covenant that I have established between me and all of life on earth. And there's where we get the rainbow. You know, in this story, all we see is Noah. We hear about his wife. We hear about his sons and their wives. So let's just wrestle for just a minute with this story. I wonder what his wife thought, right? I mean, his wife was along and seeing Noah doing the hard thing, building an ark 510 feet. I wonder what she would have thought. This might be what the conversation sounded like. Watch this.
Oh, excuse me. Can I get a refill, please?
Coming right up.
Thank you.
Excuse me. Are you all right?
Yeah. No. It's a long story.
Well, I like stories. I'm considered a bit of a storyteller myself.
My husband? Have you heard of New York's Noah?
The guy who's building the ark.
That's him.
I love that story. Noah and the ark. You know, a lot of people miss the point of that story. They think it's about God's wrath and anger. They love it when God gets angry.
What is the story about then, the ark?
Well, I think it's a love story about believing in each other. You know, the animals showed up in pairs. Mm-hmm. You know, they stood by each other, side by side, just like Noah and his family. Everybody entered the ark side by side.
But my husband says God told him to do it. What do you do with that?
Sounds like an opportunity. Let me ask you something. If someone prays for patience, you think God gives them patience? Or does he give them the opportunity to be patient? If they prayed for courage, does God give them courage, or does he give them opportunity to be courageous? If someone prayed for the family to be closer, do you think God zaps them with warm, fuzzy feelings? Or does he give them opportunities to love each other? Well, I gotta run. A lot of people to serve. Enjoy.
Going beyond our expectations. So let's get to complacency. If you forget everything else today, don't forget this. Expectations are blinded by complacency. See, complacency is when we're self-satisfied, when we're self-assured, when we're unconcerned. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 32, Solomon says, "The complacency of fools will destroy them." I wonder if Solomon was looking into the mirror when he wrote that. Complacency. See, complacency is one of the greatest enemies of you and I going beyond what's expected, knowing that God has high expectations, knowing that we lower the expectations, knowing that he gives us the strength to carry out the expectations. Hard things, being known for what we do and to chase after God's expectations. So let me talk to you for just a minute about complacency. I want to mention five things. This might be the time to get a pen out and to write these things down. You could talk about them in your small group. You could discuss them in your families. You could talk about them with your teenagers if you want. Complacency, because complacency is the very thing that destroys expectations. Expectations are blinded by complacency in our lives. Five things about complacency. Number one, complacency hides behind rationalizations. It hides behind rationalizations. That's why we say things like, "I did my best." Translation means, "I gave it a shot, and that'll just have to be good enough." Or we say things like, at least I'm doing more than that couple. At least our marriage is better than their marriage. At least I'm doing better in my life than he is or she is. At least I'm doing better in high school in terms of my life than she is. And so we say these things. Or we'll say, this is just an area of my weakness. There's nothing I can do about it. This is just what I do. Everybody makes mistakes. See, complacency hides behind rationalizations. Here's the second thing. Complacency is satisfied with things as they are and drains energy to do anything differently. Here's what I know about you because I know it about me. When we become complacent, which, by the way, blinds our expectations, when we become complacent, we become satisfied with the way things are. We don't really even see a problem. I'm just going to keep the bar low in my life. And in fact, it also drains us of the energy to do anything about it. See, we're too tired. We're too confused. It's too hard. And so complacency sets in. Thirdly, complacency fears the unknown, mistrusts the untried, and hates the new. So pick one. Complacency hates the new, mistrusts the untried, and fears the unknown. The unknown, the untried, the untested. Complacency hates and fears and mistrusts any of that. And so when I say to you, let's step up in our relationships, let's step up in our relationship with God, complacency will say, don't bother. Don't bother. Fourthly, complacency settles for average because of the fear of failure. Complacency says, just be average. Why risk any failure in your life? See, I got to tell you here today, Jesus wasn't sent by God the Father for average. Jesus didn't die for average. Jesus didn't conquer death for average. Jesus didn't give us life for an average life. Jesus doesn't promise to be with us to be average. Jesus doesn't promise to empower us to be average. Jesus doesn't offer average. Romans tells us that in all these things we are conquerors through him, Jesus. See, Jesus came that we might be able to live up to the expectations in our lives. Fifthly and lastly, complacency is pride in disguise. When you and I become complacent, it's really our own pride in disguise. See, we're afraid to raise the bar. We like keeping the bar low. We're afraid of failure. We're afraid of the new. We're afraid of trying something in our lives. So let's fight complacency. Fight it with everything that we have. See, we start on the low dive with consistency. Step up, and we fight complacency in our lives that we might be able to go beyond what is expected. So here's the question. What ark do you need to build? What is the ark that God is asking you to build? Maybe a relationship. Maybe a relationship with a son or daughter, or grandson or granddaughter. What is your ark? Fight complacency. Would you bow with me? God, we thank you that we have this amazing opportunity to worship you and to be here today, together today to experience what you have for us in this story. Father, thank you for this amazing man, Noah. He did all that you commanded. He allowed you to set the expectations in his life. We desire for the same. I pray that for all of us individually here, for all of our marriages, for all of our singles, for all of our students, we pray, God, that you would help us, that we would fight complacency. In Jesus' name we pray. And the church said, amen. Amen.